Today's daf is Shavuos daf lamed ches. We are at the very last line on daf lamed ches amid beis tanu rabbanan. Today's daf is being learned as a schus for achinu bnei Yisrael hanesunu batzar v'ashivya. Today's daf is also being learned as a schus refuah shalema for Shlomo ben Chaya Leah, Chava Miriam bas Malka Freida, and Sarah bat Batya. So yesterday, at the end of a very long daf, we began a new perek, the sixth Perek of Mesechta Shavuos, Perek Shavuos Hadayonim, which, as we mentioned briefly yesterday, discusses the Shavuos Hadayonim. How many Shavuos Hadayonim are there? Many. Three Midai Raisa, the rest are Midrabon. The three that are Midai Raisa are the Shavua of Moedim Miktsas, the Shavua of the Eid Echad, and Shavuos Hashoimrim. The long Mishnah here in the beginning of the Perek dealt primarily with halachos related to Shavuos Moedim Miktsas, which is going to segue into the sugyas, Dvarim Ha'imdim Berumay Shalaylam, that we're going to learn in the next couple of days. But as it relates to today's daf, the majority of today's daf is actually a very much welcome breather. It's a little bit of Divrei Agada that is going to depict and present the chomer with which Shvua in general, and certainly Shvua Sheker, was viewed by the Torah and by Chazal. Zokti Gemara, Abraisa. So just the setup of the first portion of the daf is the Gemara is going to bring a long braisa, which is going to take us about halfway down of Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, and then from that midway point of Lamed Tes Amud Aleph until about a third of the way on Lamed Tes Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to do an analysis and discuss that braisa. And the Gemara is going to pivot into some real sugyas. We'll start it, and then Be'ezer Hashem pick that up tomorrow. It says, Okti Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, Shavuos Hadayonim, Af Hi B'lshoino Nemra. Shavuos Hadayonim could be said in any language. Meaning, there's no specific language that the person had to swear in when he swore in Bezdin. It doesn't matter what language it is. It's going to be okay. Oymrim Lo, they would tell him, Hevi Yedei Yishino, Shekala Oylem Kulei Nizdaza, B'shasha Amra HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'sinai Lo Yisisa, Es Shem Hashem Elokecha Lashav, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said at Sinai, Loisisa es Shem Hashem Elokecha Lashav, the entire world tresled, the entire world shook, implying that swearing in vain and me'inyan le'inyan, ba'isa inyan, swearing falsely, is very, very chomer. Additionally, they would tell the person, b'chol aveir shebetayro, as it relates to all aveirs in the Torah, nemar bohen v'nake. The Torah says that if a person commits a sin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a midah, it's one of the Yud Gimel Midah Shal Rachamim, where Hashem is menaka, he'll clean the tumah, he'll clean the shmutz, he'll wipe the avera away. V'kan, however, when it comes to the lav of loisisa, the Torah says, ki lo yenake Hashem es ashe yisa es shmoy lashav. Again, brings out how serious Shavuos Shav is. V'chol aveir shebetayro. Additionally, they would tell the person that as it relates to all aveiros in the Torah, nifren mimeno. If the person does the avera, he will be punished. V'kan, when it comes to the parasha of Shavuah, mimeno umi mishpachta. It's not only he himself that's going to be punished, but his whole family is going to have to feel the retribution. How do you know that? Shenemar. It's based on a pasuk in Koheles. It says, Shlomo HaMelech talking, al titein espicha, Lachati es b'sarecha. Don't allow your mouth to somehow cause sin to b'sarecha. What does b'sarecha mean? In b'sari, ala kroive, says the b'raisa. B'sari means your relative. Shneva, the pasuk says, umi b'sarecha loitesal. V'chol aveir shebetayro. Additionally, they would tell him that as it relates to all aveiros in the Torah, nifram mimenu. If you sin, so you yourself are going to be punished. V'kan. But when it comes to the parasha Shavuah, it's mimenu umi kol olam kuloi. It's not just the sinner himself that's going to be punished, but the entire world is going to be punished. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, and this is a pasuk in Yeshaya, so Yeshaya Hanavi is talking. The pasuk says, "Oloi v'chachish." I'm sorry, it's a pasuk not in Yeshaya. It's a pasuk in Hosea, but it says, "Oloi v'chachish." Okay, and the next pasuk says, "Al kein teval ha'aretz v'umlal kol yoshveba." So it sounds like for an olah v'chachish, for somebody that denies and he swears falsely, everything is going to be destroyed. Al kein teval ha'aretz v'umlal kol yoshvei ba b'chayes ha'sadeh u'b'if ha'shamayim v'kam d'geh ha'yom ye'yaseifu, that there's going to be this mass annihilation. All for what? For the fact that the person violated an olah v'chachish. So this is all in the braisa. A little digression. V'ima adabal ulukulu. If you look at that pasuk, it says olay v'chachish, and then it mentions other sins as well. It says v'roit soyach, v'gonoy, v'no'oy, parotz, v'damay, v'nogot. Go. It sounds like they're all daveris chamuris over here. There's retzicha, there's niyuf, there's geneva, and only afterwards it says alkein teval ha'aretz v'umlal kol yesh v'va. In other words, we seem to be darshaning this pasuk a little bit dishonestly, right? It starts off olay v'chachish, which would seem to suggest that all the klolos that Hoshea is talking about, the whole world's going to be destroyed, is related to that. Yeah, but that's because we quoted a little bit of a pasuk, and let's be honest, who knows the rest of the pasuk in Hoshea, Perek Dalet? But the truth is, if you look around inside a nach, you'll see it's not only talking about shvua, sheker, it's talking about some of the biggest averes in the world. So faith to Gemara, yeah, if a person does all that various, then it's nifram mimenu umikol olam kulay. But mehecha tesi, if a person only violates four shabbos, is that going to be the way it is? So the Gemara says leisolka daitach. No, don't have that havamina. Tichsev, because there's another pasuk, and this other pasuk is in Yirmiyo, and it says ki mipnei Allah avla haaretz. It says because of Allah avla haaretz. Tichsev, and what did the pasuk in Hoshea say? Al kein teval haaretz v'umlal kol yoshvei ba. So just like ki mipnei Allah avla haaretz in Yirmiyo is referring specifically to Allah, and that caused avla haaretz, and the pasuk in Hoshea that says that all these averes are going to cause teval haaretz mentions also Allah. It's probably only Allah that's going to cause it. Just like in Yirmiyo's nevuah, it's only Allah that's going to cause it. So it's true. If all you had was the pasuk in Hoshea, it would sound a little bit like all these averes together is what would cause the al kein teval ha'aretz umot kol yeshiva. But we know from a pasuk in Yirmiyo that the Allah itself creates Allah of la ha'aretz, so it's presumable as it relates to the pasuk in Hoshea that it's the Allah alone that's going to create this. What's the obvious kasha, by the way? Just a pasha pshat. If there's no clarity from the pasuk in Hoshea whether it's the shvua that's going to cause destruction or it's the shvua plus five other averes, the raya that it's the shvua is from a mafurish pasuk in Yirmiyo. So just quote the pasuk in Yirmiyo. Why are we even quoting the pasuk in Hoshea? It's good kasha. Ayin b'marsha says the Gemara again. This is all the brayos talking. Chol v'erish b'torah has released all the brayos from the Torah. Yesh leischus toivon like shnayim v'shloisha daris. If a person has a schus, so the averes sometimes can get deferred. Two generations, three generations. V'kan, however, when it comes to the parasha Shvua Shav, nifra mimenu la'alter, he gets punished right away. Shenemar, how do we know this? And this is based on another pasuk in Navi. This is a pasuk in Zechariah. So the pasuk in totality reads as follows. Hoitze siyon um Hashem tzvakois, uva el beis haganov, ve el beis hanishba b'shmila shaker, ve lona b'toich beisoy, ve chilatu, ve es eitzav, ve es avon. The Gemara now is going to darshan this entire pasuk. The word hoitzeitzia means la'alter. It means this person is going to be punished right away. Okay, who's this person? Ubal beis haganov ze hagoyin of das abrios. It's referring to someone that's goyin of das abrios. She'ein loy mamin. How is he goyin of das abrios? He has no money eitzel chaveroi. However, v'toyanoi umashbia. So somebody frivolously sues somebody and he forces the nitva now to go ahead and swear. He's the goyin of das abrios that this pasuk is referring to. Val beis hanishba b'shmila shaker. That's what we need, and that's easy. Kemashmoy. Somebody that swears falsely. And what's his punishment going to be? So number one, hoitzei siya, which means la'alter. Additionally, v'lona b'teich pesa v'chilato es pesa v'zavonov halamadato. We learn from that, sh'dvorim she'in eshamayim mechal enoysam. Things that fire and water don't have the ability to destroy. A shvua sheker will have the ability to destroy. So if these averes, alona b'teich pesa, it's going to destroy the house. It's going to destroy. That's not so easy to destroy a house. To destroy Eitzim and to destroy Avonim, Ishamayim can't even do that. The teretz is that these ideas of a goyin of das brios, or what we need, the nishba b'shmila shaker, that avera is so chomer that it's going to destroy even things that Eishamayim don't have the ability to destroy. But we really need the first word of this pasuk, hoitzei siya. And what does hoitzei siya mean? It means la'alter. So ordinarily, there's a concept of schus toilin, right? What's the makar to schus toilin? Pesachta Soita, right? That's the primary source to this idea. But there's a concept of a schus sometimes can defer and can kick the can down the road. So a person won't have to deal with the ramifications of that error that he did. But when it comes to Shvuah Shneka, we have this pasuk in Zechariah that says, Hoitzei Siyo. Either way, the Brisa continues and says, Im Amr Ini Nishba. So what was the point of this whole shmuz, right? Just refocus for a second. This braisa started on the last line of Lamed Ches Amid Beis. Shvuos Hadayonim Afi B'Loshoina Nemra. Okay, and then Oimrim Loi. So everything that we just said in this braisa is something that's going to be told by them to him. Them being the Dayonim, him being the person that's standing in court right now, ready to swear the Shvuos Hadayon. Why would we tell him all this? Because we're trying to be ma'ayim him. We're trying to spook him a little bit, right? Make him a little creepy. So he should not want to swear the Sheker. That's the purpose of this whole shmuz. Now, if Omar, if the person hears this and he says, you know something, Eini Nishba, maybe this is not such a good idea. I'll forfeit the 50 zuz, and I'm not going to, swear Maidim and Mikzas that the person gave me chitin when I hold he really gave me sa'irin. I'm gonna walk away. Well, if that's the case, poitra noisa miyad. Then there's nothing to talk about. If the person says, Harini Nishba, no, I want to swear. So, oimdim sham, the people that were standing there, oimrim zelos, that they would say to each other. So, whoever's present in the courthouse would look at each other and they would quote the following pasuk. This is a pasuk in the Torah. Suru na me'al ahole ha'anoshim ha'rishohim ha'ilah. Let's get away. Let's go out of the tent. Go away from these rishohim. When they would make this person swear, they would tell him, heavy a day, I want you to that we're making you swear now, but when you're not going to swear on your own das, but rather you're going to swear al das hamokim and das bezin. So Gemara is going to talk about the sonoma base, but what does it mean? Just the words. The words mean that the definition of the words that you're going to use in your shvua are going to be based on what we think the definition of those words are. Meaning, let's say the person is going to swear, I don't owe you money. But when he said, I don't owe you money, in his mind, he really meant, I do owe you money, right? So, it's perfect. The Bezin's going to think, I swear I don't owe him money. When I say don't owe, really mean I do owe, right? That's Daiti, and that's what I'm swearing. Or something like that. So the hoitzi milipon of this guy, they were very, very clear. They told him, I want you to know, don't make up words and definition of the words. Everything that you're going to say is not al daitcha, but rather it's al das hamakim. It's whatever the Eibishta thinks it means, and it's whatever Bezin thinks it means. And what's the precedent for saying this? You find this by Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe Rabbeinu was mashpia Klal Yisrael. Now this shvua of Moshe Rabbeinu making Klal Yisrael swear is referring to the Shvuah of Arvis Moyev. So we spoke about this not so long ago. The Shvuah of Har Sinai and the Shvuah of Arvis Moyev. This is referring to year 40 in the Midbar, Rosh Chodesh Shvat, right? The whole Sefer Dvarim from Rosh Chodesh Shvat until Zayin Adar. Moshe Rabbeinu is recounting all the things that happened in the Midbar with a lot of Eisafis, Mishnah Torah. One of the things that happened in the end of Parshas Kisava, in the beginning of Parshas Nitzavim, is Klai Yisrael swears Simsveitim, right? The Shaila was, what was the purpose of that Shvuah? That Shvuah seemingly was also Ba'oinis. How do you know that from the Gemara in Shabbos? Because Hadik Kabluah was first B'meach HaShverish, right? But the bottom line is, there was the Shvuah of Har Sinai, there was the Shvuah of Arvis Moed, and this bright that invokes Kishesh B.S. Yisrael, referring to Moshe Rabbeinu, was talking about the Shvuah of Arvis Moyev. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu say? He told them, "Do you should also that you're going to swear right now that you're going to keep Torah mitzvahs. This is the mujbah v'oymet of Arvis Moyev. But you're not swearing al daitchem. El al das hamakoyim v'al daiti shenema. How do you know that? Because the pasuk says, "V'loy itchem levadchem v'goymer." The pasuk also says, "Kis asher yesh noy poy." What did Moshe Rabbeinu mean to say by that? You would think that this shvua that I'm opposing now would only be negaya, the chever that are here now, or the chever that were at the very least at Har Sinai. What about future generations? V'geirim asidim l'sgayir, or geirim inayim, how do you know that they're also going to be bound by this shvua? Talmudoyma, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu continued, and he said, v'eisa asher einenu. You would think that the shvua of Avos Moed was only negaya, the mitzvahs that the Yidim were mekabel at Har Sinai, mitzvah asidim l'schadish, but what about mitzvahs that weren't given at Har Sinai yet? Mitzvahs that would first be neschadish later. You're going Mikra Megillah. Minayim, what's the Makar that there was a Shvua for that as well? Talmud Loimar, Kimu Vikiblu, Kimu Mashe Kiblu, Kvar, that when the Yidden were Makabel, Mikra Megillah, they were Makabel something that they had previously been Makabel. When were the Yidden Makabel, Mikra Megillah? Oh, the Teretz is because the Shvu of Aris Moav wasn't only Negeya, the mitzvahs that were then, but it was also Negeya future mitzvahs. Now, what does this even mean? What, the Yidden were Makabel, Mikra Megillah, when they were in the Midbar? The truth is that there is the Shita Sabahag that we spoke about a few times when we learned Masechtas Megillah, who holds that Mikra Megillah is a mitzvah deiraisa. Now, Chanukah is a mitzvah deiraisa. Chassam Sofer in a bunch of places works with the Shita Sabahag. The Rambam in his Asogis on the Bahag, Sefer HaMitzvah, says, come again? Mikra Megillah is a deiraisa. How could Mikra Megillah be a deiraisa? Mikra Megillah was instituted by Mordechai and Esther in the land of modern-day Iran, in response to the Gzeir of Haman and Achashverosh. How in the world could that be a Din Deiraisa? The Ramban, his Asogas on the Rambam says, Rambam, you forgot a Gemara. It's a Mefurish Gemara, Shvus Lamed Tes Lamed Aleph, that the Yidden swore at Arvas Moyev that they would observe Mikra Megillah. In fact, when they were given Mikra Megillah of an emison, it was Kimu Masha Kiblu Kfar. This is all a little bit sussum, not for today, either way. So this concludes the long brisa that began on the bottom line of Lamed Ches Amid Beis, and it just worked its way halfway down Lamed Ches Amid Aleph. It's like all brises, it's a little cryptic, not nearly as cryptic as Mishnayos, right? We know that. Mishnayos are Belosh and Ktsara, brises are a little wordier, but either way, it needs a lot of help from the Amiran, which is exactly what the Gemara is about to do. So again, taking it from the top, or the bottom, last line of Lamed Ches Amid Beis. Shvuos Adayonim Af Hi Belashoyna Nemra. It too can be said in all languages. It says the Gemara, my af hi b'lashayna nemra. Af, right? Af means this also. It sounds like it's referring to something else that we know could be said b'chaloshen. You should know not only that, but this also. Says the Gemara, k'ditnan, the rest of the story is a Mishnah. Mishnah, mesach, tesay, de'elu, nemar, b'chaloshen. So the Mishnah says the following are a list of things that could be said in any language. Parsha soita, vidui meiser, kriyishma, vitfilo, ubrich samazoy, v'shvuos ha'edus, v'shvuos ha'pegadah. Zok de b'raisa, v'komer nami, shvuos ha'deyonim, afi b'lashayna nemra. Oh, so the Mishnah mentioned a whole bunch of things. And by the way, two of them were shvuos. Shvuos ha'edus and shvuos ha'pegadah, but there was no mention of shvuos ha'deyonim. That's the b'raisa. So again, the Mishnah is the shorter list. The b'raisa is adding to the list. And the b'raisa says, in addition to those shvuos, you also have shvuos ha'deyonim. Oh, my. The b'raisa said, oimrim loy, we tell him, have your ideas. So again, this is all part of being ma'ayim, spooking this person, because we don't want him to swear falsely. So we tell him as follows. You should know, that the entire world shook when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said the words Lo Yisisa Es Shem Hashem Alekech Lashav. By the way, it sounds like who said Lo Yisisa Shem Hashem Alekech Lashav? This is also not for now, but just the words of the Braisa. Who said it? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it. We know the Gemara in the end of Masechtas Makis, Anoichi V'lo Yielecha Mipi Agvura Shamanum. The other 611 mitzvahs we heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We heard from Moshe Rabbeinu. It sounds like it was only the first two dibros that we heard from Hashem. But Loisisa, which is already the third dibra that we heard from Moshe. The Braisa says Mefurish that it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu that said Loisisa. Shekola oilam kulei nizdaza b'shosha amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the answer is simple. The answer is because really, if you look in the psukim say vayidaber alikim, right? It's kol advarim ha'ela lemar. It sounds really like HaKadosh Baruch Hu said over all the aseres ha'dibras. Either Gemara said the Rishonim, Afanar, and Parshas Yisroi already addressed this. But the bottom line is, as the Braisa, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said Loisisa eshem Hashem alikach la'ashav, the entire world shook. And this is one of the things that we're bringing out to this person. You see the severity of a shvua. My time, but the Gemara wants to know, what's Takav Shah? Why is it that when David said, Loisisa, the world today, so is it Mishum the Isyahav B'Sinai? Is it because, what do you mean, it was given at Har Sinai? So anything that was given at Har Sinai, right, all the Ten Commandments garnered this reaction. But the Gemara says, if that's the case, it should be true by all the Ten Commandments. Esed Dibrois Nami Isyahav. And you don't find it by all Aseres Adibrois. You only find it by Loisisa, the Elam Mishum de Chamir. Maybe it's because it's very, very chum. Loisisa is the most chumer lav in the Torah. Oh, because it's so chumer, that's why it was Nizdaza. But the Gemara says, Umi Chamira? Now, Umi Chamira shouldn't be taken out of context. The Gemara doesn't mean, Michamir, is it Chomer? Yeah, of course, it's very, very Chomer. But is it the most Chomer? Meaning, it's more Chomer than everything else? That's not true, because Vatanya, we're learning to the Braisa, Elohim Kalois. The following are examples of Averis Kalois. Asei Velois, Asei Chutz Milois Sisa. So every essay is a Kal. Every Lois essay falls into the list of Kalois, with the exception of Lois Sisa. What's Chamurois? Zu Krisois, Umisas Bezdin, Velois Sisa Imam. All the Chavi Krisis, all the Chavi Misas Bezdin, and loisiso is considered chamuris. By the way, if this sounds familiar, this is the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Teshuvah that we spoke about a few times here in Maseches Shavuos. But what's the bottom line? You see that loisiso is chamuris. It's shein emal chamira, but it's not the most chamur. It's not the only thing that's chamur. L'chayra, anyways, right? You see from this brisa that it's all the chayve krisos and all the chayve misas bezdin that are chamuris. So why was it only nizdaza ha'olam when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Loi Snisa, so the Gemara says, Ela Kedektani Taima. You want to know Pshat? It's the next line of the Braisa. The Braisa continued and said, V'chol Ve'er Shebetayr Nema Behen V'nake, V'kan Nemar Loi Yenake. Meaning, the reason Nizdaza, Kol Oilam Kula, V'shash Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu B'sine Loi Sisa, Shem HaShem Alekech HaShav, is for the next line of the Braisa. Because all Averis in the Torah, it says V'nake, but when it comes to Loi Sisa, it says Kiloyanaka, and it's the chaymer of Kiloyanaka that made the world shake. And just to be mefarish the words of the Gemara a little bit better, the Gemara says, Ela kidiktani taima. Right? The Gemara doesn't say, Ela, this is the reason. It's kidiktani. Right? What does the word kidiktani mean? We're just touching the words. Kidiktani means the Bryce itself was mefarish. Right? If you look at the top few lines of the Amid. That's this part of the Braisa. The Braisa said, we tell him, have you a day, Shekol Oilam Kuli Nizaz, B'Shal Shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'Sin Elay Sis, Shem HaShem HaKach HaShem. And then we tell him, V'Chol HaVeir Shabbatar, V'Nake, V'Kan Nema Lo Yenake. What the Gemara is saying is that those two things are not two independent things. The second is the Hasbara of the first. Kol Oilam Kuli Nizaz, B'Shal Shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'Sin Elay Sis, Shem HaShem HaKach HaShem. Why Kedik Tani? V'Chol HaVeir Shabbatar, Nema V'Nake, V'Kan Nema Lo Yenake. Says the Gemara. Is that true? Is that true? The chol aver shebetayra loy nema behen lo yanaka. The only aver where it says lo yanaka is by shvuashav. That's an incorrect statement. Vaksiv, the pasuk says venake lo yanaka. Venake lo yanaka means a kodesh baruch hu sometimes is a lo yanaka. Semar says it's true. It says lo yanaka even by shara averus, but there's a difference between the lo yanaka that it says by shvuashav and the lo yanaka that it says by shara averus. How so? So the gemara says ahumi bayle the kederabel lazar, because that lo yanaka means what Rabbi Lazar said it means. Tanya to the Bryce, Rabbi Lazar said, yeah, shalom v'nake. The Torah says v'nake lo yanake. Now you can't say that it's always v'nake, shekvar nemar lo yanake. And yeah, shalom lo yanake. It can't lo yanake, shekvar nemar v'nake. Right, v'nake lo yanake is an oxymoron. Is it v'nake or is it lo yanake? Which one is it? And Rabbi Lazar said it can't exclusively be v'nake because it says lo yanake. And it can't exclusively be lo yanake because it says v'nake. So which one is it? Said Rabbi Lazar, I'll tell you the way it works itself out. Menakehu l'shavin, the ina menakeh l'sheinu shaman. If a person does tshuva, there's a menake. If a person doesn't do tshuva, then it's lo yanake. What does it have to do with the Gemara's kasha? It's true there's an idea of lo yanake even by shara averus, but that's only l'ein on shavin. For shavin, it's never lo yanake, it's always menake, with the exception of Shvuashav. By Shvuashav, the Torah says ki lo yanake Hashem. And what the pasuk means to say is that even when there's a v'nake in Kol HaTorah Kula, because the person did tshuva, aber wenn se kumt zu Shvu Hashav, over there it's lo yanake. And that's a chumra nifla, that a person could do tshuva and on some level there's still a lo yanake. And that's so chumra, that when the Eibusha said those words, it was Kol HaOlam Kula was nizdaza, and this is part of the iyum, and part of the chaymer that we try impressing upon this person, do not swear falsely. Moving along, the Bryson said, Kol HaVeir Shebetayra, as it relates to all Averis in the Torah, they're from Imenu. So the person himself that did that Averis will be punished, right? Tzchar V'Oinish 101. V'kan, however, when it comes to Shvu Hashav, it's Mimenu Umi Mishpachta. It's not just the person that did the Averis, but his entire family. Faith the Gemara. Let's meditate on this for a second. Kol HaVeir Shebetayra Mishpachta Eloi. You tell me the only Averis in the whole Torah where you find the concept that someone does an Avera and his family will be punished is Shvu Hashav. No other Avera. I have another one. The Pasuk says, V'samti ani es panai ba'ishahu u'bimishpachtai. Now this Pasuk is talking about the Isser Moilach. Right? We know what Moilach is from learning Sanhedrin not so long ago. But the Pasuk is talking about the Isser Moilach and it says clearly, V'samti ani es panai ba'ishahu u'bimishpachtai. right? It's pretty clear. And by the way, we have a price that explains this a little bit. Time limited price. Amr Rab Shimon said, right? Why does the mishpacha deserve to die? So Rab Shimon, who was Derish time of the cry, he said, I'm going to tell you, Pshat. Loi melacha, it's coming to tell you. In lucha mishpacha, she ish ba muchas. There's no family where there's a muchas, there's a tax collector. So we know the tax collector was a bad guy back in the day. She ain't kula muchsin. If there's one tax collector, on some level, they're all tax collectors. Vishyesh ba listim, there's no family that has a listim, she ain't kula listim. And the reason, said Rab Shimon, is they should mechap in olaf. Because they're all involved in the cover-up, right? There's one tax collector, but everybody else is covering for him. There's one listim, and everybody else is covering him. But what's the bottom line? It's a pasuk in the Torah. V'samtani es panav ishahu b'mishpachtoi. And Rav Shimon, who's Derish time at the Krah, right, he has the license to do this, he expanded, he said it's even true by all Averis. Every muchis, every listim, there's the Avera, and then there's the cover-up. And the family is usually aiding and abetting in the cover-up, and as a result, there's an idea in the Torah of Ube Mishpach. So how could you tell me the only Avera where it's from Imenu Mishpachtoi is Loisisa? It's not true, you find it by other things as well. So the Gemara says, Hasam Bedina Achrina, Hacha Bedina Dide. It's not mamish, the same thing. It's true. By other Averas, you find this idea of Ube Mishpachtoi. But the Avera is a lesser Avera, because all they're involved in is the cover-up, and as a result, their Oynish is going to be a lesser Oynish. When it comes to Loisisa, the Torah says the same Oynish, the same din that is going to descend upon the person that violated Loisisa, that same din is going to affect the family as well. And by the way, there's a makar to this chilik, this distinction, and that's too in a braiske. The Tanya Rebbe, Yami Rebbe said, V'hichrati oisnei matamud loimar. Why does it say the pasuk v'hichrati oisai? So again, this is the end of the pasuk that we just mentioned by Moloch. V'samti ani es panav ishahu b'mishpachtoi, and then it says v'hichrati oisai. What's the kasha? It's not oisai. You just said a second ago, toich kidei dibur, that it's the entire family. Said Rebbe, I'll explain to you what's going on. You would have thought that the entire family is going to get karis for being complicit somehow in Moloch. Meaning Rebbe already learned up in the pasuk of Moloch, it says, V'samti anies pane be'ishahu u'bemishpachtoi v'chrati oisai. The pasuk starts off saying the whole family is going to be punished. And then it says, V'chrati oisai. Says Rebbe, yeah, the chorus, the V'chrati, that's going to be on oisai. Everybody else is going to get something else. Also, you see already that even though the whole family is involved in the oinish, but it's not going to be the same level of oinish. That's true by Shara Verus. However, when it comes to Shvuah, Vir, it's Nefram Mimenu, Umi Mishpachtei, the Mishpacha is going to get the same exact Einish. Moving along in the Braisa. It said, V'chol Averi Shebetari Nefram Mimenu, V'kam Mimenu, Umi Kol Oilom Kuloi. So that, the Gemara already brought the Makar for. Shemem, the Pasuk says, Olav V'chachesh, V'ksiv, Alkein, Teval, Oretz, right? That was the Pasuk in Isaiah, with the Raya from the Pasuk in Yirmiyo, and the Marshas Kasha. If you have a Raya from the Pasuk in Yirmiyo, why do you even need the Pasuk in Isaiah? V'chol Averi Shebetari, says the Gemara. But is this all true? Olav Averi Shebetari, Mikol Oilom Loi? There's no ramifications to people other than the ones that actually did that there. Right, again, when it comes to Shvuah, it's not just the person that made the Shvuah. The ganze Welt is on some level going to have to pay this invoice. But when it comes to other Averas, you did the Avera, you'll be punished. But everybody else not. Faith the Gemara Voksiv, there's a pasuk in the Torah. It says, V'choshlu ishba achiv. Pasuk in Vayikra Perichava, and Parashas Bechukosai. And we learn from here, ish ba'avoin achiv, v'koshlu ish ba'achiv. Man will stumble because of the sin of his brother. Ish ba'avoin achiv, melamed. And we learn from here, shekol Yisrael na'arevim zebezeh, which means that we're responsible for each other. And if one of Yid does an Avera, the impact and the punishment can affect another Yid. So the Gemara says, true. You find by Shara Averis this idea that one person does an Avera and the whole world is going to be responsible. But Hasam, it's Tafka in a situation like there, Sheesh B'Adam Limchais V'Amichu, where the other people could have been Moicha, they weren't Moichas. Again, they're complicit. It's similar to the idea that we find by Mishpachtei, by Moilach, where you played a role. You're aiding and abetting this sin. How are you aiding and abetting? So you're not covering up that the Mishpacha did. But at the very least, you could have been Meicha and you are a Meicha. So being that you're on some level complicit with what's going on, it's for that reason you're responsible. As opposed to when it comes to Shvu, has nothing to do with that. Has nothing to do with Yesh B'Adam Limchais V'Lamichu, even if you weren't in a position of authority, you weren't in a position where you knew about it, you weren't in a position where you could have been Meicha, Afilu Hachi, you are going to be punished. So the last two Gemaras which were all from the Braisa, had mentioned this idea that Shvuah Shav is unique. It's different as an Aveiro than all other Aveiros. All Aveiros, Nifram Mimenu, when it comes to Shvuah Shav, it's Mimenu Umi Mishpachta. All Aveiros, it's Nifram Mimenu. When it comes to Shvuah, it's Mimenu Umi Kala Oilam Kula. Stellt sich the obvious question. So it comes out here that if a person does an Aveiro, Mimenu umi mishpachtoi, mimenu umi kala oilam kulai. L'chayra, if it's kala oilam kulai, b'chlal masayimane is mishpachtoi. But from the fact that the Braisa individualizes mishpachtoi and then only afterwards mentions kala oilam kulai, it certainly sounds like that mishpachtoi l'chod and kala oilam kulai l'chod. Probably because maybe there's a different level of Einish, right? I mean, that's what you would think. So the Gemara now is going to want to know what is the difference. Meaning, what's the difference between Mishpachtoi and Kol Olam Kuloi? It certainly sounds like there's some sort of difference. And by the way, let's try to understand it as it relates to Shvuah. And also, let's try to understand it as it relates to Shaar Aveiros. Because we saw already that by Shaar Aveiros there's a concept of Mishpachtoi. You see that in Moilach. And there's a concept of Kol Olam Kuloi. The Kashlu Ish Ba'achiv Shekol Yisrael Arevim Zebezeh. Now, it's true. Mishpachtoi is only because you're involved in the cover-up. And Kol Olam Kuloi, it's because you could have been Meicha and you are Meicha. It's because on some level you're complicit. But at the same time, in terms of the Einish, how is it administered, what's the difference between Mishpachtoi and Kol Olam Kuloi when it comes to Shvuah? It certainly sounds like there's some sort of difference. And is there a difference? And what would be the difference as it relates to Shaar Aveiros as well? Says the Gemara, Mai Ikka bein Rishoim de Mishpachtoi. What's the difference between Rishoim de Mishpachtoi and Rishoim de Alma? And Bein Tzadikim de Mishpachtoi Le Tzadikim de Alma? And what difference is there between not the Rishoim, meaning the good guys, but they're part of the family, and the good guys that are part of the Welt? Says the Bryce, and now this is referring to the Alma, all Averis, right? Who? The person himself that does the Avera, Bishar Averis, when it comes to Averis, Bedine. So he's going to get the punishment that the Torah says he's supposed to get. V'rishoim de mishpachtoi, and as it relates to the Rishoim of his family, Bedin Chamer. They're also going to be punished, and their punishment is going to be a Din Chamer, but not Dine. It's not going to be the same level. V'rishoim de Alma, and as it relates to the Rishoim of the Welt, Bedin Akal, there is going to be less. Tzadike de Hacha v'hacha, but as it relates to the Tzadikim, meaning people that are not guilty at all, Ptiri, they're going to be Pater. Gabi Shvuah, when it comes to Shvuah, who Urisham de Mishpachta Bedine, the person himself who swore falsely or swore in vain, and all the bad guys of his family are going to get punished with the same punishment that he's getting. Urisham de Alma, the Risham of the Welt, Nifram Imenu Mikol Olam Kuloi, they're going to be punished, not the same punishment, Abba Bedin Chamor, it's going to be a Din Chamor, Vitzadike, the Hacha Vahacha, and the Tzadikim, the good guys. Whether it's Mishpachtoi or it's not Mishpachtoi, Bedin Akal, they'll be punished, but they're going to be punished Bedin Akal. If you tease apart this Bryce a little bit more carefully, essentially, it makes perfect sense in light of everything that we said previously. And that is, when it comes to Shaar Aveiros, the only time a person is going to bear any responsibility is if he's complicit, right? So the person that does the Aveira, right, let's look at this again, is Bedine. He's going to get the Einish, that's prescribed by the Torah. Rishoim de Mishpachtoi, the Risham of his Mishpacha, they're getting punished. Why, the Gemara said? Because they're complicit. How are they complicit? They were involved in the cover-up. Oh, they did something very chomer. The Mela, it's Bedin Chomer. Now, it's not Dine. You can't compare someone who's complicit to someone who actually committed the crime. So it's for that reason, it's going to be a Din Chomer, but not Mamish Dine. The Risham, the Alma, are also only getting punished, we saw, because of their involvement. What did they do? They weren't as complicit as the family member who actually covered, but their involvement was, they could have been moich and they weren't moich. Okay, that's a lesser level of aiding and abetting, and as a result, they'll be punished, but they're only going to be punished, but they're not kal. What about the tzaddike da hacha v'hacha? What about the righteous members of the family and the righteous members of the world? They're going to be pater. Why are they going to be pater? Because again, the only time you're punished b'shar avera is if you play a role. So the guy that did the avera, yeah, he's the most chamer. The family, they're one level less, and then the rest of the world is a level beneath that. Everybody else did nothing wrong. If they did nothing wrong, there's no reason that they would ever get punished. As it relates to shvua, however, there's a new halacha. Shvua is nifrom mimenu mimishpachtoi, nifrom mimenu mikoloi lomkuloi. Over there, yeah, the eina gets struft. And over there, the oynish is even if you're tzaddiki, ad kidei kach tzaddiki, the hocha is going to be b'denakal. Now, there's still an afgemina between mishpachta and kol oilam. And it makes sense, because mishpachta is fart playing a role, and the people of kol oilam, kula is playing a role, but the role that mishpachta is playing is a bigger role. So when it comes to the person doing the avera, that's kedinei. The rishon, the mishpachta, because we're dealing with shvua, which is so chamor, so therefore it gets upgraded, he also gets kedinei. Rishon, the alma, is din chamor, but it's a level low, and the tzaddiki, the hacha v'hacha, this is a grace of chiddush, and this was the whole punchline of the braisa. It taka is a chiddush, that it's so chamor that even family members, and even kaloi and kuloi, that technically played zero role in this avera, afilu hachi, they too are going to be punished. Moving along, Amar eini nishba, what happens if after this whole iyum, the person says, you know something, maybe this is not the best idea. Oh, if he says any nishba, point to the yad, then Omar, if he says any nishba, wow, this is like the last iyum that they say. They turn to each other and they say, let's go away from these very evil people. You know, maybe that will be like the last little kvetch inside his neshama to get him to not do what he's not supposed to do. But the Gemara says, I don't even understand that. Who are the ho'anoshim ho'rishoyim ho'eila? L'chayra, it's the Tovei and the Nitva. So what's the kasha? Bish, loyma, who the kamishtaba. Bish, loyma, the person that's going to swear the Nitva. To the extent that he's going to swear falsely, koi bisura. That's why he'd be called a Rasha. Ela, who the kamashbale. But the person that's causing the shvua, amai, why would we ever refer to this person as a Rasha? Meaning, what did he do wrong? The Rishoyim or Eila, l'chayra, would be these two people. The Tovei, Atmar says, yeah, k'detanya, Rav Shimon, ben Tarfin, oymer, shvua sashem tia ben shne. Says that the Shvuas Hashem should be imposed upon both of them. What does it mean it should be imposed upon both of them? Alami, it's coming to teach us Shechala Shvua al Shneim, that the Shvuas Chal on both of them. Rashi says what this means is that Saida Teve and Saida Nitva are somewhat guilty every time there's a Shua Sheker. The Nitva, because he swore falsely, and the Teveya, because he should not have loaned money to a questionable character, which ultimately would have caused this person to have to come to court and to swear falsely. And being that you loaned him money without aid and whatever, so it ended up in a situation where this whole thing happened, you play a little bit of a role, and ad kedei kach, we refer to that person as being a rush. Mashbi and Oysa, the Braisa said, and the v'chulu was the whole rest of the Braisa. Right? We tell him that you can't make up your own definitions for the terms that you're going to use in this shvuah, but the terms are all going to be based on what we understand these terms to mean, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. Why would we even have to tell him this? Like, what's the Havamina? We think that the person is going to say money and later he's going to tell you, I didn't really mean money, I meant something else. Mara says, yeah, Mishum Kanya de Rava. It's really based on a real story, Rava's Cain. The Maisa Shahaya Kachaya is a Gemara in Mesechtes Shvuos, earlier in Dachav Tez, and the Darin Daf Chafei, right? So this is a well-known story where the Gemara says that there was a Maisa where somebody owed somebody money in court, or maybe owed somebody money in court, and Rava wanted him to swear that he gave him the money. So he told the person, hold my cane and then I'll swear. So he gave him the cane to hold, and then he swore I gave him the money. And the person got so upset, he took the cane, he threw it on the floor, it cracked open, he saw the money was there. Meaning, this person, Taka, wasn't swearing falsely. He, Taka, had given him the money, but let's be honest, not what Rava meant. So, lahoitzi mi libon of such a case, of Kanya de Rava, that's why we had to include in our iyum this ganza maisa over here. So we're going to make a haschala on the next part of the sugi, because otherwise we're just going to keep on falling behind. So we're going to make a haschala on this next part of the Gemara. We'll go through it fairly quickly, and then Be'ez Hashem tomorrow we'll recap it, precap it, and do what we do. Either way. Hataina shtei kasef. So what was the first halacha, perek shvuos hadayonim? Shvuos hadayonim, hataina shtei kasef, v'ha'hoida b'shava pruta. So we're talking about a moedah b'miktsas. Right? And as it relates to the laws of Maidim and Mixas, the Taina has to have a minimum dollar amount, has to be Shtei Kesef. Rashi in the Mishnah said Shtei Kesef means Shtei Ma'is Kesef. So a Ma'ah is a coin. It's kesef because it's made of silver. So it's two silver ma'is, two silver coins. That's what the Taina has to be. The Hoidah doesn't have to be shtei kesef. Doida is shava pruta. Pruta was copper, right? Prutas were always copper. It was the most billiger coin, right? Think of the penny. That's pachas yoser, the way you would view the pruta. But the point is, there's a minimum shear of the taina, and there's a minimum shear of the hoida. Now, the Gemara is going to begin by presenting a machlekes Rav and Shmuel, how to teach the word hataina. That first word of the Mishnah, essentially. Hataina. What does hataina mean? We know what hoida means. Hoida means the hoida part of moida b'mikzas has to be a shava pruta. The question is, what does hataina mean? Says the Gemara, Rav said, kfiras taina shtei kesef. When the Mishnah says hataina, it doesn't mean the entire taina. It doesn't mean the tfiya. It doesn't mean the amount of money that Reuven's going over to Shimon and telling Shimon, you owe me. It means the kfira, the amount of money that Shimon the Nitva is going to die. In every moida b'miktsas, there's a hoida b'miktsas and there's a kfira b'miktsas. The hoida b'miktsas is shava pruta, and the kfira has to be at the very least shtei kesef. V'shmula, Shmula said, Taina atzma shtei kesef. No, taina means the tfiya that Reuven goes over to Shimon and says, Shimon, you owe me. How much money is he telling him you owe me? He's telling him shtei kesef. And afilu like kafir ela bepruta v'leihoida ela bepruta chayiv. But as it relates to the shir kfira, no, the shir kfira is like the shir hoida. And just like the hoida is a shava pruta, so too the kfira would be enough if it was a shava pruta as well. In other words, according to Rav, there's a shir kfira and there's a shir hoida, and it's not the same shir. The shir kfira is shtei kesef. The shir hoida is a pruta. According to Shmuel, the shir kfira and the shir hoida is the same thing. They're both a pruta. Another nafkamina is, according to Rav, the tfiya would have to be at the very least shtei kesef and a pruta. Because you're going to need the hoida in every moida b'miktsas to be a pruta, and you need the kfira to be shtei kesef, which means that the underlying tfiya would have to be at the very least 1 plus 1. According to Shmuel, the shir hoida is a pruta, the shir kfira is a pruta, and in fact, when the Mishnah says atayin shtei kesef, it's referring to the underlying tfiya, and all the underlying tfiya has to be is shtei kesef. So the Gemara, Amar Rava, Rava said, "Eik masis kavasi de Rav, kroi kavasi de Shmuel." At first glance, the Mishnah would seem to be a little bit more mashma like Rav, and the Pasuk in the Torah would seem to be a little bit more mashma like Shmuel. Mishnah first. The Mishnah is a little bit more mashma like Rav. Because the Mishnah said, "Atayin shtei kesef," and then it said, "Vahoida shava pruta." Now the ilu kfira is taina pruta like Tani. It doesn't say a word about the shir kfira. Shouldn't it say something about the shir kfira? Probably when it says ataina, it means the kfira. V'tranami, I have another Mishnah. This Mishnah is in Bava Metzia. Hahoida bepruta. The shir hoida is a pruta. Now the ilu kfira bepruta like Tani. It doesn't say that the kfira is bepruta. It only says that the hoida is bepruta. What does it sound like? It sounds like it's taka only the hoida is bepruta. It sounds like the kfira is taka shtei kesef. So said Rav, at first glance, I've two mishnayis that seem a little bit more like Rav. Because I've two mishnayis that say that the hoida is bepruta. What does it sound like? The hoida, yeah. And the kfira, not. In fact, it's probably mashma that when it says ataina shtei kesef, it probably means the kfir, because being that it didn't tell me what the shir for the kfir is, that's probably what the shir is. But here's the point. The point is, two mishnayos where it says that the shir hoida is a pruta, it sounds like dafka doida, not the kfira. Probably the kfira is that bigger share of atayna shtei kesef. So that's the mishnayos that's mashma a little bit more like Rav. V'kroik, I'll say the shmul, the pesukim a little bit mashma like shmul, dechsev, because the pasuk says, ki ite nisha re'eyo, so just to read the entire pasuk, kesef ay kelem lishmar, v'guna mi beso ish, im yimotze aganov, yishalem shnayim. And then the pasuk says, skipping a pasuk, al kol dvar pesha, al shor, al chamor, al se, al salma, al kol avida, ashi yomer, ki huze, adu alikim yovid dvar shneim, ashi yashiyun elohim, yishal nishnayin l'reye. Now these two psukim I mentioned in the parasha of Shoimrim, it's also the makar to the parasha of Moed v'miksas. Which words mean Moed v'miksas? It's the words, ashi yomer, ki huze. Ashi yomer, ki huze, sounds like the sum tfiyah, and the person is saying, no, it's not what you're saying, right? It's not the who. What you're saying, I owe you, it's zeh. It's only this. This is the Makar to Moed v'miktsas. By the way, the Torah mentions the parasha of Moed v'miktsas in the parasha of the Shoimrim, in the parasha of Shavuos HaShoimrim. That's why there's a man d'amar that holds Eruv Parashiyos Kosov Kan. Right, we know all these sugis and jas. But the bottom line is that it's these psukim over here that are the source to the idea of Shvuas Moedah B'Mikzas. And in those psukim, says Rava, it's a little bit more mashma like Shmuel. Okay, so how so? So again, let's take it a little bit more carefully. It says, Ki yitein isharei eyu, kesef oy kelim lishmar. So what's the underlying tfiya of the Moedah B'Mikzas? It's kit and ishal reyeyu kesef oy kelim. It's either kesef oy kelim. So said Rava mat kelim shnayim af kesef shnayim. Right, just like kelim is shnayim. Right, it's a lashon rabbim. It's two kelim. Whatever the keli is, it's two. So too the kesef, the silver, the money would also have to be two. And mat kesef davar chashuv. Just like kesef, silver is a davar chashuv. Af kol davar chashuv. So too whatever would have to be a davar chashuv. So from the words kelim and kesef, we learn that there's two criteria at the onset of the parasha Moedah B'Mikzas. Number one, two. Number two, it's also chashev, right? Kelim is shnayim, that's how I know two. And kesef is chashev. So it has to be two of a davar chashev. Okay, v'kamer achmana. And what did the Torah say? The Torah said, ki hu zeh. The Torah said that if you're now Moedah B'Mikzas of the two, at that point, you are going to be chayav shvus moedah b'miktsas. So let's focus on the kesef, right? So if you're moedah b'miktsas of two kesef, you're considered a moedah b'miktsas, and you're going to be chayav. Also, what do you see from here? Hatayinu shtei kesef means just the tfir needs to be shtei kesef. You don't need the kfira to be shtei kesef, because the hoida and the kfira is mitoich hatayinu. That was kelim shnayim kesef davar chashuv shtei kesef. So you need the underlying tfiyah to be shtei kesef, and from within the shtei kesef, there's a kiyuzeh, there's a moedah b'miktsas. So Rav said that you need that the kfira should be shtei kesef. Said Rava, kroy is daika kavasi de Shmuel, because the pasuk seems to say that the underlying tfiyah was shtei. Now, what does it say shtei kesef? Doesn't. But it says kelim and kesef, and I know from Kalim too, Kesef, Choshev like Kesef. So the bottom line is, if it's going to be Kesef, it would have to be two Kesef, but you don't need the Kfira to be two Kesef. It's enough that the Tfira is going to be two Kesef. Where it says, V'Rav, how's Rav going to explain? How is Rav going to explain this diktok in the pasuk? So the Gemara says, Rav's going to say, Humi bayalei lohida b'miksa satayna. Those words of ki uzeh are coming to teach me the ikar halacha moedah b'miktsas. Now, it's just kedai to pause for 1 second because it's hard to even read these words. We know it's coming to teach you moedah b'miktsas. Shmuel knows that. That's why Shmuel is coming from this pasuk, the way Rav understands Shmuel, right? This is the pasuk that seems to shry shita Shmuel. But the point is that the underlying tfiyah of the ki uzeh was shtei kesef. So you see, a tiny shtei kesef doesn't require that the kfira should be shtei kesef. You just need that the underlying kfira should be shtei kesef. What is Rav saying? We know mixas is going to be learned from here. Pasha learning chumash Rashi. We're doing pshutei shel mikra here, and in the pshutei shel mikra, it sounds like the underlying tefillah is enough for shtei kesef. The Gemara is going to say that in a few lines. The Gemara is going to say that's where Shmuel was coming from. Shmuel knew this, but for now, the Gemara is going to go along with Rav's taina. So again, what's Rav's taina? Humi bayalei lohida b'miktsa taina. Now, what's even pasha pshan and Rav? So from Rashi, it's mashma that what Rav is saying is that the only way you'd be able to darshan this drasha is if there's something extra in the pasuk. And being that there's nothing extra in the pasuk, because I need ki uzeh to teach me the din of moedah b'miktsas, so melech kenish darshan. Now again, the Gemara is going to say Shmuel's not darshaning. Shmuel's just teaching the pasuk. And from the pasuk, it sounds like the underlying tefillah is shtei kesef. But Rav doesn't see it that way. And Rav understands that the only way to be a raya from the pasuk like Shmuel is mit epis extra. And he's saying there's nothing extra over here. What's the extra? Ki uzeh, is that what's extra? I mean, ki uzeh, I need from moedah b'miktsas. But the Gemara says, Shmuel will tell Rav that even if you hold that the only way you can learn that the tefillah is shtei kesef from something extra, there's still something extra. Why? Because ahumi ksiv hu v'ksiv zeh. It says the word who, and it says the word zeh, the kofra b'miktsas, v'oidi b'miktsas, chayef. So being that it says, achi yomar ki hu zeh, so the who and the zeh, one of them is extra, and if one of them is extra, vaita, there's something extra to teach me that the tefillah is going to be have to be shtei kasa, but the Gemara says, "Rav, Rav will tell you no, it's not true." Because chad lo hoydav and mixas ataino of the who and the ze, one is coming to teach me the ikra locha moedav and mixas vechad, and the other one is coming to teach me loydav imen ataino that it's not enough that you moedav and mixas, but the hoydav has to be imen ataino, like the Mishnah had mentioned in very great detail. So Rav seems to deflect the fact that the pasuk is mashma like Shmuel by saying that it'd only be mashma like Shmuel if there's something extra, and there's nothing extra. Achiyemer ki uzeh teaches me moedav and mixas. Even if you want to tell me key, who's that? Something's a little miyuter over here. But there's two halachas that I learned from here. Number one, the ikud din of moedav mixas, and key, who's that? As if what I'm being moedav to, right? Just what's the taich of ki uzeh? Who? What you're saying is not really the way you're saying it. It's zeh. It's the way I'm saying it, right? It's not 100. It's 50. It's not chitin. It's higher. But even if there's something extra over here, but one would teach me the ikra locha moedav mixas. The other one would be that the zeh has to be me'in the who. That it has to be min. Again, we'll see more about this tomorrow. But that the Haidah has to be Minataina. So that's seemingly the way Rav deflected Shmuel. But the Gemara says, Vishmuel, Shmuel's going to tell you, Lav Memela Shamat Mina, the Chasra Lataina, meaning at the end of the day, it's true there's nothing extra, but it's still mashma from the Pasuk that the Ikr Tfiyah was what? That the Ikr Tfiyah was Kalim and Kesef, which means two Kesef. The ikrit fear was shtei kasef. You don't need the kfirah to be shtei kasef. You just need the ikrit fear to be shtei kasef. How much does the kfirah have to be? Whatever the hoidah is, right? The Mishnah said, hoidah is b'shava pruta. So presumably the kfirah b'shava pruta would be as well. But here's the point. The point is the pasuk is very mashma like Shmuel. If the pasuk is mashma like Shmuel, how's Rav going to explain away the pasuk? Elo amalcha Rav. Rav is going to tell you kesef ki asa me kara le kfirah hudasa. That the truth is, it's true. When it says kesef, kesef means shtei kesef, because kelim oy kesef. And if that's the case, there is a mention in the pasuk of shtei kesef. But Shmuel understood it in Pshutei Shel Mikra, that's the tfiyah. Rav is going to tell you, no, kesef ki asa mikar l'kfirah da'asa. That's not the sheer tfiyah, it's the sheer kfirah. And he explained, the im kein, because if not, lichtev rachmara kita nisha re'eyu kelim lishmar. Could have just said kelim, v'ano amino, ma kelim shnayim, av kol shnayim. Right? Everything is always going to be two. Kesef, the kasef rachman, alamali, why the Torah have to mention the word kesef at all? The reason the Torah mentioned the word kesef is probably to tell me the shir kfirah, and the shir kfirah has to be ke'en kelim, and just like kelim is two, this would have to be two as well. Shmuel's going to tell you, ikas rachman, kelim, like kasef kesef, had it said kelim and not said kesef, I would have thought what the Gemara said in the beginning, ma kelim, shnayin, av kol shnayin, av adav chashav, loy bini, you don't need a davah chashav, kamash malon, that's the chiddush. But the bottom line is, again, we'll see this much better tomorrow. That Rav and Shmuel, their machloik is in how to learn the Mishnah. Hataina shtei kesef. Rav said hataina shtei kesef means the kfir has to be shtei kesef. Shmuel said hataina shtei kesef means the ikr tfiyah has to be shtei kesef. Right? According to Rav, the hoidah of moedav and mixas has to be only a shava pruta. The kfir has to be shtei kesef. According to Shmuel, side the hoidah, side the kfir have the same share, which is a shava pruta. Both of them came to their positions from the pasuk in the Torah. The Torah says kiita nishal reyeu kesef oikelim lishmar. This is the backdrop to the parasha of Moedav and Miktas. From the limud of Kesef Oikelim, we learn that just like Kelim Ishnayim, so too Kesef Ishnayim. So the sum halacha of Shtei Kesef when it comes to the parasha of Moedav and Miktas. The question is that halacha governing the Iker Tfiyah or is it governing the Kfirah? According to Shmuel, it's governing the Ikr Tfiyah, which is certainly what it sounds like in Pshutei Shel Mikra, right? The Gemara is Lashem, v'Shmuel lab memela shamet minei, right? It certainly sounded like that's what Pashup Shana in the Pasuk is. That's where we started off. And then there's a ki who's there, there's Aida and a kfir b'mixas of that. According to Rav, it's not governing the Ikr Tfiyah, but rather it's governing the Shir Tfiyah. Now in the Pshutei, the Shir Kfir. Now in the Pshutei Shel Mikra, it sounds like for sure it's the Ikr Tfiyah. And Rav wouldn't even debate that, but Rav just holds that the word kesef is extra. And being that the word kesef is extra, so it's like an enoy inyan to the ikr tfiyah, tneyo inyan to the shir kfira. Again, we just made a haskalah, so we shouldn't fall too far behind, but we'll have to recap what we just did, bekitzer nimritz, and then do tomorrow's daf, which is going to be a continuation of this machloikis between Rav and Shmuel. But as it relates to Reid, going back to the first part of today's daf, and really, also going back to where the sugya started, which was at the very end of yesterday's daf. And that is a fascinating tshuva. I'm not saying that lightly. from the Noida B'Yehuda. And this is in Shailos Hetshuvos Noida B'Yehuda. It's in Madura Kama. It's in Yeridaya Simin Ayin Aleph. So in the world of classic tshuvos from the Noida B'Yehuda, this is without a question a top 10. Now, the shoyel in this tshuva, and the person that the Noida B'Yehuda was writing to, was just reading from the tshuva inside. Nishalti min ha'adoin kaiser keneglichin reviser translator euch konsistralischer censor fotir tirsch titel yorim hoidoi bifkudas adoinenu hach virdige konsisturium titel yorim hoidoi. He's talking to a government official. In English, it goes something like this. Kaiser, royal, reviser, translator, consistory translator, father, tirsch, title, yorim hoidai, the high worthy consistorium title, yorim hoidai. He was writing to a man whose name was Father Tirsch, right? Futir Tirsch, Father Tirsch, he was a galach. And this person was clearly a translator of some sort. He was also the royal censor. So, a little bit of background. Once upon a time, you couldn't print a sefer unless it went through some sort of censorship. And the censor was somebody that was appointed by the government. And this person had to approve any sefer that was going to be published. What were they looking out for? So obviously they wanted to make sure that there wasn't going to be anything that's anti the government, right? See the Night of Yehuda's Hespin, Maria Teresa, V'tein L'chachem V'yechgemay. Additionally, a lot of the Neutrim related in Yonim. So it went through some very, very heavy censorship. If you have a first edition, Child Shuvah's Night of Yehuda, and really, if you look at any sefer that was printed around that time, so after, on the Shar block, literally, Sefer Noida B'Yehuda V'Shailos Hetshuvos Ashechibarti Ani Atzor Yecheskel Alevi Landau Yoishapoy Prague, right? If you go all the way to the bottom of the page, there's a sign-off. Leopoldus Tirsch. That's this Tirsch that the Noida B'Yehuda is writing his tshuva to. Now, the question that he was asked was as follows. Lohidia daiti al pi das v'din teiruseinu akdoisho im anachnu ha-yehudim al pi nimusenu mutter lonu lishova al sheker im ha-sefer teiru sh'oiches biyodei v'shas ha-shvu hipsul. The question that Father Tirsch asked the Noida B'Yehuda was, is a Jew allowed to swear falsely if he's holding on to a sefer teiru? That's possible. So what's the rest of the story? So I discussed this with Rabbi David Katz. He's the world-leading expert on all things Noida B'Yehuda. And the background to this tshuva was, we know, we've discussed this many times in the daf, that the Umayis HaOlam didn't trust the Yidden. They didn't believe that when a Yid said a word, his word was a word. And even if he promised, and even if he swore, they still didn't trust the Yidden. In fact, they felt they had a basis for it. The basis for it is the parish of Ataris Nadarim, which is the rest of the story of why the parish of Ataris Nadarim and those parochim and Masechtas Nadarim wasn't learned in the yeshivas, right? People shouldn't make leichtheit of Nadarim, but you know, we've always sensed that could be there's a little bit more than that. And they used to literally point to Psukim in the Torah, and they would say, what do you mean? There's an idea of the Yidden, they come into the Beis Medrash on the holiest night of the year called Nidre, and they say every Neder and every Shvuah and the Kol Asari, they say three times with a niggin, right? Nothing should be a nothing, right? Nidore are not Nidorim, and the Shvuyah are not Shvuyah. You see that they don't take Nidorim, and they don't take Shvuyahs lightly. And it got to the point where it was so bad that if there was ever a he said in court between a Yehudi and an Einu Yehudi, it was always understood that Einu Yehudi was right. And Jews were losing court cases all over the place because the Jews' word had no value. It literally had no value. And they had to come up with an etzah. So finally they came up with an etzah. The etzah was, they said that a Yid, if he's going to come to court, he's going to have to take an oath to make any argument that he's going to want to make in the context of a Toyin V'Nitin. And not only that, he's going to have to hold a Sefer Torah. So if he's going to hold a Sefer Torah, right, this is the proverbial put one hand on the Bible. So if he's going to hold a Sefer Torah and then he's going to take an oath, for sure it's going to be okay. But what happened was, Futir Tirsh got word that the Yidden were using a Sefer Torah that was possible. And because they're using a Sefer Torah that's possible, oh, so they don't have the chaymer of Sefer Torah anymore, because it's not a, right, it came with the garble, right, it's not a kosher of Sefer Torah. Oh, so if it's not a kosher of Sefer Torah, so now all of a sudden they have no problem indiscriminately and recklessly swearing falsely, and he doesn't know, This is what they're telling him. So I don't, maybe I can't trust the Jews anymore, of course. Like, how do I go about it? So he writes a letter to the one man in his entire empire that he trusted. And that was the great Noi Debi Yehuda. Right, Kiyodua, the Noi Debi Yehuda, in the words of Rabbi David Katz, was 150% above board. He was so above board in every way because he had such respect by the government and he had to maintain that. It was Mamish Chaye Kla Yisrael Mehoiduvat Kush, to quote Lashoni Azov of the Noi Debi Yehuda in a different shuvah, was always at stake. And as a result, the Noi Debi Yehuda understood that his relationship, similar to Rebbe and Antoninos, with the government and the empire was very, very, very critical. And this father, Tirsch, he respects the Noi Debi Yehuda. He sends him a shaila, and he says, Yilamdeinu Rabbeinu. He says, I want to know, I'm curious. If a Jew swears falsely, but he was holding a pasul of Sefer Torah, did he violate a sin or did he not violate a sin? Meaning, I understand that you have to be holding a Sefer Torah for the Shvu to be a serious Shvu. What if the Sefer Torah that he's holding is pasul? So Rabbi Yehuda writes a tshuva back, and this tshuva is a clinic. It's such a fascinating tshuva. The reason such a fascinating tshuva is because tshuva of Rabbi Yehuda is not an easy limud, ki yadua. But this tshuva is not a hard tshuva. It's a very elementary tshuva, and the reason is because he's not writing it to Rabbi David Deitch, right? He's not writing it to Rabbi Yeshaya Berlin. He's writing this tshuva to Futter Tirsch. That's who he's writing the tshuva to. And he breaks down this inyan so klar, imamish, it could be shtayim mikvah echatargan the tshuva. It's just amazing how someone on the level of the Noi Debi Yehuda can lower himself and write such a basic elementary tshuva. We'll just read a couple of excerpts. The excerpts. This tshuva is much better if you read it innovating, and it reads very, very simply. So let's just go through a little bit. V'zeh tshuvasi. This is what he writes to him. He says, Hine, anachnu ha-yehudim muzharim shaloi lishav ha-klal b'sheker. We are commanded, we're not let us swear falsely. Afilu be'enei oicha sefer Torah b'yadai. Even if you're not holding a sefer Torah at all. Ki ein achizas ha-sefer ikir shoyre shal ha-shvua. Holding a sefer Torah is neither here nor there when it comes to a shvua. Raki ikir shoyre shal shvua mipiv. The only thing that matters when it comes to a shvua is what comes out of your mouth. But imroi, when a person says, ani nishba she'o sisi, oi she'ese dover zeh, oi be'imroi ani nishba shalo yo sisi, oi lo yese dover zeh. By the way, this is shvua shtayin shein arba, right? Miyad chol ha-shvua. As long as he says any one of those four things, the shvu is going to be chal. The dover zeh kosev b'Torah come upon him, says Rabbi Cheska Landau to Futter Tirsch. He said, this is something that's mentioned many times in the Torah. V'shonu in the Nevi'im, and it's chazed over in the Nevi'im. U'meshulach b'ksuvim, and it's mentioned in the Ksuvah as well. U'mevur b'gemara b'poiskim. It's also something that's mefurish in the Gemara and in the Poiskim. U'berambam u'beshulchan aruch, kashen nefarit hakol b'kan kol arayas achas achas. And he says, I'm going to methodically go through all of the aforementioned to show you that this is the way it is. It's just to start to get a flavor. Ksiv b'toyre b'aseres hadibrois. Shmois kapitol chof posig zayin. Loisiso eshem Hashem alekecha lashav. Hare hisironu b'mikra zeh al shvu hashav. V'loi nisker kam b'mikra zeh shum t'nai sheyoichas b'yodeh shum sefer Torah. Beis. Amru b'vayikra hey dalad. Oy nefesh ki sishav. Levati b'sfasayim lohara oy lehetiv. L'chol ashen yevata adam b'shvu. Hare mefurish b'mikra hazeh, she'ikar ha-shvua toli b'mifta sfasayin, shu'a dibur she'medaber b'piv, v'loi nizka shum achiz ha-sefer, it says something about holding a sefer Torah, rak omar l'chol ha-she'yivate ha-adam. Amru, it says, in v'yikar perik yutas, v'loi sishavu b'shmila shoker, v'chilalta Hashem alokecha, hare she'af b'li achiz ha-shum sefer, im nishba l'sheker, hu mechal she'im ha-gadav ha-noira. He says, number four, ein lucha mokim shehichmir hakase bi'iyumim gedoyle v'nefloim kemoy b'shvuas ha-soita. There's no parish in the Torah where we spook somebody more than the Kohen spooks the soita. Shehoiso ba'azare b'makim kadosh, v'hoya ha-noisne shal shvuazu yoyser chamor. Lashpia oisa im loisinsa tachas isha. Viniske beparsha hi bamid beparke komasha osa akoim beshasa shvua. Shalokach ofame karka mishkon. Umayim kidoshim en akiyor. Vegam mincha soirim. Hakom mefurish beprosi kol masha hoyetzorch boise shah. Veloi niske shom shum remesh. Yikach akoim seifetairo. Viyitain beyado. Varena masham. It says over there. Vishpia oisa akoim. Veomer alo isha. Hare, ikra shvua hua amiru v'adibur, v'afilu enay menachiyuv, etc., etc. He says, number five, the Torah says, ish ki yidai nedal Hashem, oy hishova shvua lesser Israel nafshoy, lo yachal devaray, hare she'inu rashoy l'chala adibur shayitim yipiv, v'zeh ikra shvua, v'am rasham, k'chola yoyitim yipiv yasa. Then the Noid Behuda pivots. He starts bringing rayas from all the Shfuas in Nach. Hine, Avram Avinu Vavi Melech, Nishbu Shneim Zelazeh. Ka'amor, Bereshis, Va'ato Hishavuli, Va'oit Sham, Akein Karol Amokamahu Be'eris Shava, Kisham Nishbu Shneim, Va'reze Hoyo Kaida Matan Torah, V'shom Sefer, Va'oy Hoyo Lemaz. He goes to the Mechira of the Bechira, he goes all the way to the Shfu of Rachav Azoyna, the Shfu of the Gevoinim. He brings 14 examples, Loi Pachis, 14 examples from Nach, where you find there were Shvuas, and there isn't one mention of a Sefer Torah. So the first thing that the Noid Behuda told Father Tirsch is that a Yid is only not allowed to swear falsely if he's holding on to a Sefer Torah. What are you talking about? I just gave you 14 examples from Scripture, and there isn't one mention of needing to hold a Sefer Torah in order for the Shvuah to be a Shvuah. So he says as follows: Hirachnu ad ata lahavi min haTorah min aviyah min haKsuvim va'ata navi divrei haTalmudim vaHaPoiskim bozeh. V'zeh Lashon HaRama, just read the Lashon HaRama. Beperek b'sefer hashishi, v'hu sefer hafla, hilcha shvuos perek al v'loch al. You see how the Noid Behuda is giving it to him in a way? He says, sefer hashishi, v'hu sefer hafla, hilcha shvuos perek al v'loch alef. Usually Noid Behuda doesn't make it that easy to find the Maror Makom that he's quoting, right? It's the sixth book in the Rama's Mishnah Torah. It's in hafla, hilcha shvuos perek al v'loch. Arba minei shvuos, same. Shvuos bita, shvuos shav, shvuos apakadin, shvuos ha'etos. And he brings the whole Lashon HaRambam, where the Rambam talks about what a shvuos is, and Rambam doesn't say one word about having to hold on to a sefer Torah. Then he brings the halacha of the Shulchan Aruch, and the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Pei Zayin. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't say one word anywhere in Hilchah Shvuos in any of these places that you have to hold a sefer Torah in order for the Shvuah to be a Shvuah. So Yehuda methodically and systematically proved from Torah, from Nevi'im, from Ksuvim, from Rambam, and from Shulchan Aruch, that there's no idea, this is a farce, that you have to be holding on to a sefer Torah when you swear in order for the Shvuah to be a Shvuah. Stating that, Rabbi Yehuda told Father Tirsch, says, there is a minig that sometimes when Bezdin would require somebody to swear, so they would have him hold the Sefer Torah. But said the Noid Behuda, the reason he held a Sefer Torah was not to make the Shvuah a real Shvuah. The reason they would have him hold the Sefer Torah was just to scare him. It's based really on today's daf, Shvuah Slamites, that they tried very hard to spook the person so that he wouldn't come to swear falsely. And what they would do is they would give him the Sefer Torah because there's a verse in the Sefer Torah, I mean there's a few, but one more than all the others, that they want to highlight him. And that is, Moisisa Eshem Hashem Alekecha Lashav, Ki Lo Yenaka Hashem Eisa Sheyisa Shmoy Lashav. And the reason he's holding the Sefer Torah is merely to spook him. It's just to scare him a little bit. That's the whole objective. That's what's going on over here. And being that's what's going on over here, so it's for that reason he's holding the Sefer Torah. But not that there's a need to hold the Sefer Torah because if he doesn't hold the Sefer Torah, the Shvuah is not going to be a Shvuah. Then he went on to tell him, which was a Gemara in yesterday's daf, that even the Sefer Torah is lav dafka. There's an inyan lechatchila to maybe even have tefillin and not a Sefer Torah. So this whole idea of one hand on the Bible, he said, that's a noitzri inyan. That's not a Jewish thing. Now, there is an inyan where in Shvuah Hadayanim, sometimes there was an Akitas Chefetz and sometimes it was even a Sefer Torah. But the whole objective of holding the Sefer Torah was mernit, just to be ma'ayim the person. Then the Noid Behuda went and he answered the second part of this. How do you view a apostle of Sefer Torah in general as it relates to this inyan of Akitas Chefetz? So Noid Behuda said a little bit of a chiddush. He said, that to me it's pashit that even in the world of Shvuos Hadayanu b'Nikitas Chefetz, again, which is not ma'akiv in the Ikar Shvuah, but even in the world of being ma'ayim with a Sefer Torah b'Nikitas Chefetz, apostle of Sefer Torah would also be considered apostle of Sefer Torah. He said there's no question in the world that apostle of Sefer Torah has Kedusha, just like a kosher Sefer Torah has Kedusha. And he says two lumdas in. One lumdas that he says is that what do you do when you have apostle of Sefer Torah? Let's say you find the Sefer Torah, it has a psal. So you fix the psal. You don't take the whole Sefer Torah and put it in Geniza, you fix the psal. Freik the Noid Behuda, why does it help to just fix the psal? L'chaira, the minute the Sefer Torah became apostle, the ganze Sefer Torah was apostle. So when you're going to fix the psal now, how does fixing that one psal now make the rest of the Sefer Torah all of a sudden kosher? You should have to rewrite all the Shemus, right? You should have to rewrite everything. It's like Tasa V'loim and Asoi, right? You should have to rewrite everything. That's not the minig. The minig is you fix the psal and then the rest of the Sefer Torah. The Teretz is because the rest of the Sefer Torah never lost its Kedusha. And because the rest of the Sefer Torah never lost its kedusha. So said the Noid Yehuda that it's poshit that a apostle of Sefer Torah is b'kedushas ha'medes, and for sure for the world, for the sugya of Nikitas Chayfetz, there's no shaila in the world that apostle of Sefer Torah would be a good Sefer Torah as well. And then he said another lamdas. The other lamdas that he told him was that even apostle of Sefer Torah, so let's say you find a psal, and the psal is in Parashas Ba'aloyscha. Okay, so that means that Parashas Ba'aloyscha is a problem, or maybe Sefer Ba'midba is a problem. But for sure, the other svarim are not going to be a problem. So Memanavshach, the Nikitas Chayfetz of the Sefer Torah, is always going to be considered a Nikitas Chayfetz, even if it's pasul. Because even if there's a psal, the Nebuda said, what, you're going to have the whole Sefer Torah is going to be pasul? It's impossible that the whole Sefer Torah is going to be pasul. Maybe you'll find a psal in one Sefer, in two, in three, in four, in five? So it's not possible. And the Nebuda said that what you're worried about, of having a pasul Sefer Torah in court, I don't believe Sadaz a pasul Sefer Torah in the ganze Welt. That's what he said. I don't believe there's such a Sefer Torah. Because for sure, one of the Sfarim are going to be kosher. It's very geschmack the way he lays this out. Listen to the way he writes them. Om namani oimer. Shekola pilpul anal kosafti rak lekayim dobar upkuda shalo adoinim agdoilim haneskorim betchilas atshuva. Kivon shezer etzoinam lohidiyam shayrush adin kiyamti devrayim. Says, I wrote this whole tshuva because you asked me to. Aval amaysa in tzoyruch lechol zeh. Ki ein benimtza biyomenu sefer Torah shi apostle agamri. I don't believe there's a full-fledged apostle of sefer Torah bezman hazeh. V'lo yishchiach etzleinu klal kasher avar. Ki yodua, listen to how he writes, Shetayrasenu akdoisha, Tayras Moshe, Nechlekes etzleinu lehei chalokim. He says, our Tayra akdoisha is divided into five chalokim. V'nikroim, chamishei chumshei Tayra. V'chol echad mechameshton nikro sefer bifnei atzmai. Each one is its own sefer. V'zeh proton. Aleph, sefer bereshis. Beis, sefer shmois. Gimel, there's no punchline, by the way. Sefer Vayikra, Nikra etzleinu, Tayras Kayanim. Dalit, Sefer Bamidbar, Nikra etzleinu, Chaymish HaPikudim. Hey, Sefer Dvarim, Nikra etzleinu, Mishnah Torah, Hafla V'fel. Vim Nimtza, Psul B'Sefer Echamehen. If you're going to find a Psul in one of them, Oy Af B'Shnaim, Oy Af B'Arba. Oba V'Nisha Mehem Echad Shalim B'Li Psul, HaSefer Ahush Nisha B'Shleim, Us Kosh Alikris Bebet Zibur. Ulevarich Alav Kash, Ashen Nosan Lanu Teiras Emes. V'Av Shem Hoya HaSefer Ahu Cholik B'Fnei Atzma, you wouldn't be able to, but once it's Mechubar to a Sefer Torah, this is something you're allowed to do. Again, it's just so interesting how the Noid B'Hudu was able to talk to everybody. It's just, it's amazing how he writes this beautiful tshuva to this person, Mamish, with, you know, you think about what's at stake over here. It's incredible. At the very end, this is the last paragraph, he says, Kol masha kosafti nirli baru l'alocha l'maisa. V'herbeisi lehevi rayois kfulois u'michu polois. V'chol harayois heheveisi im yishoye rak tzas mehem nuchoyna. Even if some of them would be true, it'd be okay. Ob yesh mehem kedai lismaych l'alocha l'maisa. Ki kol harayois meharayosim yuchedas l'atzma. Each raya I'm bringing you is a good raya. No one raya needs the other raya for assistance. I hold all of the rayas emes. For emes yed laatzmoi, mashenir laniyas daiti kosavti v'chosamti. And I think the date's a little interesting. When did he write this tshuva? It was Yom Dalid Yud Gimel Av Tov Kuf Chav Hey Poi Prag. This is in the year 1765. So in the year 1765, this is what's going on over here, and this is the tshuva that the Noid of Yehuda wrote to Father Leopoldus Tirsch with all the titles, Yoram Hoidai, that the Noid of Yehuda gives him in the beginning of the tshuva. But the emes is like this. There's another tshuva. We're not going to go through the whole arichas of this tshuva for various reasons. But there is another tshuva, and this is really the postscript to the tshuva that we just went through together. And this tshuva was written by the Talmud Muvik of the Noid of Yehuda, the great Goyen, the Baal Tshuva Me'ahava, Rabbi Loza Fleckless. And it's printed in Chelek Aleph of Tshuva Me'ahava, Simin Chavvav. So who was this tshuva written to? Ateres Sholim Toivu Bracha V'chaim Ad Achris Hayomim. Li Yedid Nafshi. Hachocham hasholim b'mailois umidois eser yodois v'novoin das hamatik hagodol noide b'shorim oyev emes oyev meishorim ha'odoin v'hasar Carl Fisher kaiserlich keineglich zenzer yichye chayim aruchem uvruchem. He's writing to Yedid Nafshi, Carl Fisher. So who's Carl Fisher? If you ever open a sefer that was printed in Prague, any sefer, open a sefer that was printed in Prague from the late 1700s into the, like 1820s, 1830s, there's a chsima on the bottom. It's Nechta v'Nechtam al Yedei Carl Fisher. He was the censor. And Then Tshuva Me'ahava wrote a similar tshuva, like his Rebbe, the Neid Yehuda did, to literally the next guy. So it went from Leopoldus Tirsch to Carl Fischer. He's writing him a tshuva. Now it's interesting. He refers to him as Yedid Nafshi. So you would say, it wasn't really Yedid Nafshi. He's Rebbe Lazar Fleckler says Yedid Nafshi. This is Chanifa 101, if there's ever been one. It's not true. The Tshuva Me'ahava was best friends with Carl Fischer. If you know, you know. There's a biography that was written about Rabbi Lazar Fleckless. It was written by an einikel of Rabbi Lazar Fleckless, and he talks about the relationship that a Zayda had with this Carl Fischer. Carl Fischer was a Neutzri, but at the same time, he was a Talmud Chacham. Yeshayim, a Talmud Chacham Muflig. That's a big word. But he was a legitimate Talmud Chacham, and he had a tremendous yedidus with Rabbi Lazar Fleckless. And again, Alti Kalabay Necha. Alti Kalavenacha, Rebbe of Antoninus, Teichiach, these were very, very important relationships that the Neid Yehuda had, and his Talmud Muvik, his protege, Rebbe Lazar Fleckless, went in his Rebbe's ways, and it was something that he was able to maintain. But either way, he's writing to Metshuva Me'inyalayin. Now, the Shiloh is a little bit different. The Shiloh in Tshuva's Neid Yehuda, that Father Leopoldus Tirsch as the great Neid Yehuda, was if a Yid makes a Shvuah and he's holding a Pasul Sefer Torah, is it a Shvuah? And the Neid Yehuda says, what are you talking about? A Shvuah is a Shvuah. One hand on the Bible, this is your Inyan. Yeah, we have something called Iyun, Nikita Scheifetz, Shvuah Zadayonim, Ein B'Shulchan Aruch. We don't even use a Sefer Torah most times. Right, Simno Yod Chatachas Yirechi, we use Tvillin. Oh, you're conflating too completely that the Shvuah is a Shvuah is a Shvuah. Right, that's the name of Yehuda's Shvuah. Rabbi Lazar Fleckless was asked by Carl Fischer two things. You ready? The first thing was, he wants to know, he heard a rumor that a Yid is not allowed to swear falsely only to another Yid. But to an Eim Yehudi, there's no Isser. And Carl Fischer knew how to learn a shtickle. So he said he knows a lot of psukim in the Torah, Reyeyu, right? And the sugyas of Avakah, a lot of sugyas, right? A Mevin Yovin. Then a Nanigeya Kutim. The Nanigeya Ivdikechavim. So he said he heard a Shmur Rechaika that a Yid is not allowed to swear falsely, but only to another Yid, not to an Eim Yehudi. So he wants to know from Rabbi Lazar Fleckless if that's the case. Additionally, he tells him as follows. He told him that, you know, when the Jews come to court, we try to be ma'ayim them a little bit, right? We try to spook them out a little bit. One of them in Hagim that he brings, they did, is they would put the kittel. They would take the kittel, right? You'd pull out your kittel if you had a swear. He calls it the sterb kittel. The sterb kittel, right? Sterb is melushin sterb. I'm pretty sure, right? My German's not so good, but I think that's what it is. So it's like the kittel, mamish. They put him on tachrichen, the sterb kittel, and like this, it would be a b'chin of yaskel yei mamisa. But somebody told Carl Fischer, there's a much better idea. He said, instead of having Jews hold a sefer Torah when they swear, they should hold a zayir hakadosh. This is what he was told. He said, because I heard, asher ledas chaside Yisrael, hazayir hakadosh is kadosh v'noira, if somebody swears falsely holding a Zayah, he's going to drop dead within a few days. So he said, this is what he showed. So these are the two questions that he asked Rabbi Lazar Fleckless. It's amazing. This is what's going on. So he says, number one, is a Yid allowed to swear falsely to an Eini Yehudi? And number two, what do you hold to this idea? You like my idea? Then maybe what you should do is, instead of him holding on to right, put one hand on the Zayah. This is mamish what he wants to do. It's a plea atzuma. These are the two questions. So in the tshuva, the first half of the tshuva, Rabbi Lazar Fleckless writes, is this idea, you're not allowed to swear falsely to an Eini Yehudi, what shaykh is. And he says it very lomdish. It's clear that Rabbi Lazar Fleckless had a higher opinion of Carl Fischer's understanding of Torah than the Neid Yehuda did of Leopoldus Tirsch's understanding of Torah. Because, I mean, the Neid Yehuda literally went back to Kametz Alpha, right? We have a Sefer Torah, it's divided into five Chalakim, the first is called Bereshis, the second is Shmais, right? The third is Vayikra. I mean, the Tshuva Me'ahava holds that Carl Fischer's mamish in the Sugya. He's varfin all over the place. But he said it's Poshet, it's the same longest as the Neid Yehuda. The problem with the Shvuah is Vaskup Tarois from Moil, that's the problem. It doesn't matter who you tell it to. It's the fact that he'd be mechal d'shem Hashem because the Shvuah needs d'shem. He's farfing Rambams. That's what's going on here. But the bottom line is, it's poshut. And by the way, he invokes the tshuva from his great Rebbe, right? V'yisoyd ha-shvuah huwa imar areini nishba, oisha mashbiyay achav huwa ino amin. Avu masha miniach yodei ala toirai ala tfilin eishar chevetz eine elo li'iyum ba'almo la'amoyin am loy b'aynisa v'dobez ha-mavur ba'arucha b'dvar mishal tam v'das toirai. Listen to me, right? Sneviyam uksuvim ha-ram shulchanah b'sefer noyd b'yudah chel g'yodei simen ayin aleph asher chibram mayreinu v'rabbeinu ha-gadol menuchase b'gan Eden v'lo hiniach dover kotim v'gadol sham. The olav ein lahoisiv the kosha light latika. He says, I'd love to reprint it now, but it's too long. Ki ubetachlis arichos ubikash the mishal matzas. He says, you have an oida b'Yehuda, Carl Fisher, pull it out tomorrow and during Seder and go through the Chuvas Doit Behudi, you'll see the whole thing. I mean, he says, Bakash to Masham, iron Chuvas, he's ironing him, right? He says, go take a look at the Chuvas Doit Behudi. But then he says, you know, what you're telling me now, that there are people that swear falsely on a Sefer Torah. He said, but they're not going to swear falsely on a Zayir. So maybe we should replace the Torah with the Zayir. So I'll just read the beginning. This guy's a shaita. That guy's a shaita. The safer the Torah lane, yeah. Oh, but the Zohar Kodesh, which is being mefarish the Torah, not. And then, if you know, you know, the Chuv Mehava writes a little bit about the Zohar, and he talks about a lot of things that came about from people studying Zohar, and you know, they did it in the wrong way. He says, Suru, just one excerpt. Kama kilkulim rabim kilkulum amine hakelev hara shapsai tzvi. He talks about Brachia Misalanika, another infamous person in Jewish history. Yaakov Frank, right? That's Jacob Frank. Shem Rishoim Yirkov, Vitalu Devrein Besefer HaZayar. And he says a lot of bad things came from people who studied Zayar and didn't have any avone what was going on. And by the way, if you know, the Chuv Me'ahava was someone that he wrote a whole Sefer, Havas David, about the Frankists. And this, is, of course, ties into the Nayib Yehuda's Tshuva of L'Shem Yichud, which is very, very misunderstood. Because people don't realize Nayib Yehuda was a tremendous Mekubal, and he was someone who had an extreme appreciation for Kabbalah. But because of the rampant, unchecked, and untethered Kabbalah that was going on at that time in Prague, it's for that reason they had to be Moicha the way they were Moicha. But if there's a very, very fierce Macha that I glossed over here in that Tshuva of Tshuva Me'ahava, regardless, two fascinating Tshuvas. One is in Shaila of Tshuvas Noida B'Yehuda, Yerideya Madurakam, Siman Ayin Aleph, written to Father Leopoldus Tersh. The other one is in Shalos Teshuvas Teshuvah Me'ahava for Rabbi Elazar Flack. It's a Chelagav Simchavav. It was written to Carl Fisher. They had something in common. They were both censors. If you have a first edition Madura Kama Noida B'Yehuda, Leopoldus Tersh's name is in it. And if you have a Madura Tinyana, it's Carl Fisher's name, because that was already 30, 40 years later. And at that point, Carl Fisher was the censor. And it was both on the same Inyan, both sort of related to this idea that Shvuah is a Davar Chamor, but could be it's only a Davar Chamor bin a Nikita Schefetz. Could be only then is it a Davar Chamor. And you see, there's an Indian of Nikita Schefetz. It's a sugya, and it's brought down a Shulchan Aruch in Rambam, so for sure there's such an Indian. And really, the Noida B'Yehuda and the Tshuva Me'ahava, they both wrote the same Tshuva. Nikita Schefetz is just to be Ma'ayim. Right, that's all it is. It's just to be Ma'ayim. But if you want to know, the Chaymer Shvuah has nothing to do with Nikita Schefetz. A Yid's not let us swear falsely. It doesn't matter if he's swearing to a Yid, to a guy. It doesn't matter what the setting is. It doesn't matter if he's holding a Sefer Torah, he's not holding a Sefer Torah. Just one interesting historical postscript to this is that there is an artifact that exists, and that is a chumash that was used in the Bezdin of Prague, and it has an inscription from Rabbi Elazar Fleckless in German, and it's signed by Rabbi Elazar Fleckless in German. It's a chumash, and any Yid that would come into the courts and had a swear, they would ask him to put his hand on that chumash, and that's the way he should swear. In fact, if you open up the chumash on the pasuk Lo'isisa Hashem Hashem Elokecha Lashav in Parashas Yisroi, it's underlined, and that's where they used to make him put his hand. So when a Yid would swear in the Bezdin of Prague, I think this was in the secular courts, so they would open up the chumash and they would have him put his finger looking at those words in the Torah of Lo'isisa Hashem Hashem Elokecha Lashav, and that's really the whole Indian. It's just to see those words in front of you. We had that long brisa in today's daf. It's all kedei la'ayim olav. That was the whole Indian of Nikita's Chefetz, Nikita's Sefer Torah.